Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to a Cinematic Universe minisode. I'm your host Joe Cunningham, and joining me to bridge the gap between our Generation X and Green Lantern episodes are
Seb Patrick
and James Hunt.
And bridge the gap we are going to struggle to do.
Presumably this will have to be like our worst ever minisode to go with the fact that we're doing it in between
two of the worst movies. Yeah, I think that's appropriate. Normally, when it is April Fool's Day week, I have to be very careful about the news that I'm reading online, just in case I've accidentally picked one of the April Fool's ones and then reported on it on the podcast as if it's a real thing. This week, I thought the April Fool was that there was no news and someone had clearly deleted it all from the internet. Because there's not an awful lot, but what we're going to do is try and make our best of it. And, you know, we're the podcast that can talk for 2 hours about Generation X, so this won't be a problem. So we'll start off with what I now think is the biggest piece of news that we got this week. But earlier when James mentioned it in an email, I was like, no, that's nonsense, James. We're not going to discuss that on the podcast. Flashpoint is apparently not going to be called Flashpoint anymore. And we can go into kind of like the details of why that is. And that it might not necessarily mean it's not Flashpoint. So there was an
I bet it does mean that, though. They had to kind of back down from saying it, but I bet it does mean that.
Let's see. So here's the story. The Hollywood Reporter was talking to writer Dan Mazzo, who is going to be writing an adaptation of Ernest Cline's Armada, had at some point words
joy.
On... I read
a passage from Armada that somebody put on Twitter, and it was just as bad as Ready Player One. It was like he learned nothing. It was exactly the same.
We need to make you watch Fanboys, I think. I think that would make me
happy. I read the oral history of Fanboys
which Jay Baruchel was fantastic in.
Yeah, well, yes, he was. It was funny that because of his name having come up on the podcast and you being annoyed that I didn't know who he was. But I just loved the fact that they managed to make out that the biggest victim of the Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey scandals was the movie Fanboys.
Amazing. Dan Mazzo being interviewed on The Hollywood Reporter, and it mentioned on there that he worked on the Flash film, quotes, when it was titled Flashpoint. This article was written by Boris Kitt, and he later tweeted out, "I didn't say they weren't adapting Flashpoint. All I said was that it wouldn't be titled Flashpoint, but maybe I said too much." So,
yeah, see, he didn't say that it's not as well.
Okay.
So that denial is also not a confirmation that it is the thing that he's saying that he didn't say it's not.
Do you know what? I'm willing to go ahead and assume you guys.
Go on.
Warner Brothers don't know.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of directors and writers this movie's had. Now, I believe this is the one that... I forget their names always. Is it Goldstein and Daly, the two that worked on the Homecoming script and wrote Horrible Bosses and Vacation? John Francis Daly from Freaks and Geeks and Jonathan Goldstein. I think that's right. They were the latest to attach to this. They've been attached, I don't think, as recent. I don't, you know, more recently than a DCEU film has come out in cinemas. More recently than Justice League, or certainly around that time. So, like, it could, anything that's been set up previously could be, you know, it could be up in the air. And given the rate at which Flash / Flashpoint goes through directors and writers, why would you commit to a story? Let's just see. Let's see what happens. We'll make
just
one
turn
of
up on the day and see how it goes.
Yeah, whichever script like lands in the actor's lap first, that's the one we'll go with. So that's a piece of news, but I think it's a fun piece of news just because it's telling about what's going on over at DC. In some other little DC tidbits that I just think have been pretty funny this week, there's like there was one article was titled "Matt Reeves says that the planning for the Batman is going very well." Great. Joe Manganiello has said that things are happening with Deathstroke.
This is like when Joe and I talk about how eventually we're gonna convert our attic, you know, actually convert it into a third floor of our house, and it's, you know, it's something that could possibly happen one day. We'd like to do it in the future. we could say that we're planning to do it. The realistic possibility of it happening within the next 10 years or so is probably zero, but we can still say we're planning it.
See, when you started that sentence, this is when Joe and I talk about, I thought you were talking about me. And I,
sorry, yes. I have a wife called Joe, for those who don't already know that.
But I was also thinking about how, like, I was thinking maybe Seb's about to talk about how I have said in the past how I would quite like to set up the Onion, but for superhero news sites, because these are the articles that I've read this week are just like the parodies of, like, oh god, well, we got to write about something. Zack Snyder has been out on social media over this past week or so talking about, like, he was on some social media network.
He's the only guy on, like, Vero.
He is literally the only guy on Vero, and he's basically using it to
to explain Batman v Superman and the bits of Justice League that were his.
It's basically his way of getting the Snyder cut out there, is to use a social network that seems to, at this point, just be a social network for Zack Snyder fans.
It has made me acutely aware of a spike of people on social media explaining scenes from Batman v Superman and Justice League and Man of Steel as if they are profound in the past week or so.
Yeah, it's like all of these explanations, in inverted commas, none of them are things that we didn't figure out that was probably what they were going
also,
to mean.
They're not
the spear was a Christ
successful
metaphor. Really? You were doing a Christ metaphor with Superman in that film? I had no idea.
And here's the thing about Zack Snyder. Like, whether you like his work or not, there's no.
And remember, I quite like Batman v Superman.
Yeah, and I like some of his earlier work, and but there's no doubting that that guy puts a lot of thought into what goes into his movies. Like, I think, for all his faults, is a thoughtful filmmaker. That being said,
the problem is the brain that's coming up with the thoughts.
Well, yeah, having intention behind shots and imagery, and having, like, and having ideas for what you want to represent in your film does not make those thoughts necessarily profound in and of themselves, and it doesn't mean that intention is necessarily going to come across in the execution. And the fact that Zack Snyder is out on social media explaining what some of his scenes meant and what they were going to lead towards, A, suggests flaws in his film, and B, suggests major flaws in the way that DC have built their movies. Yeah, so apparently, like, the opening scene or so, he was explaining the nightmare sequence in Batman v Superman. And
yeah, apparently it was all symbolic.
It was all symbolic.
Which I think
most
of us guessed at the time, right?
And it was all leading towards stuff that was going to happen in Justice League Part 2, because when that movie came out, Justice League was a two-part movie. And in the end, it was a two-part movie, but both of those parts were released simultaneously on the same reel of film.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, apparently it was like a revelation that the possible future that was being seen was a future in which Superman had been taken over by Darkseid and the Anti-Life Equation. And it's like, yeah,
But why did that? Why did that matter figured. In the movie that we were watching?
I mean, it's weird. I mean, you can see why. You can see why it's in there at that point in the story, which is this is a moment that profoundly unsettles Batman in terms of the existence of Superman in the world. But, well.
I was thinking as well that with the Deathstroke stuff. So obviously Deathstroke turns up in the... Was that in the Justice League post-credits?
It's the Justice League post-credits.
Yeah. So Deathstroke turns up and we're like, oh, it's Deathstroke. I guess we'll see him in Justice League 2, The Batman, his own movie. I don't know. I was thinking, if you look at the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is there any time that they've introduced a character, either in a cameo, either in a supporting role in a film, or in a post-credit sequence, where we don't already know when that character is showing up in the MCU, like, in a major way?
No.
That's never happened, has it? Like, with Hawkeye and Thor, we knew he was coming in Avengers. Like, with Black Panther, we knew he was coming. With Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver at the end of whichever movie that was. Was that Guardians of Galaxy? No, I can't remember. Was that Winter Soldier?
I think it was Winter Soldier to lead into Ultron?
Yeah, maybe it was one of the movies. But you always knew where those characters were coming. Yeah. And whereas DC just going, oh, hey, here's Deathstroke. Great, when will we see him again? No idea. How do you get excited about that?
Well, they also managed to undercut the excitement over having Deathstroke appear by the person that he shared the scene with. And everyone was just like, oh, fucking hell, not him again. It's like, do we have to put up with him to get Deathstroke? Really?
I quite liked him, to be fair.
Also, another bit of DC news. The Batman movie may take place in the past.
Yeah, in 1989.
That would be great. Oh,
is he going to come out of watching the Tim Burton Batman and be like, they got all that wrong?
Okay, let's move over to the small screen and something that I think we are all excited about in spite of the direction that its sister show has taken. We got the first image from The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. And it's not that exciting in and of itself because it's just two people.
I mean,
stuck
it is
there.
Exciting though because it's Kin and Shipgirl playing Sabrina.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Joe, you're not on our Riverdale WhatsApp group, so
no, and I don't need adding to that. It's fine.
So you won't have been party to us trying to figure out. Well, no, I say try. It's not like we've had a lengthy conversation about it, but certainly the question is still hanging in the air of whether it's set in the 60s or not. And these photos are maddeningly inconclusive about that fact.
Yeah.
Because the car looks like it could be quite an old car.
And the fashion looks like it could be quite old-fashioned. But also...
But I'm leaning towards 60s feel, like a kind of an anachronistic feel to the visuals.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Not unlike
do.
What Legion... did actually.
Wait, where's the car? I haven't seen the car. What's the car?
It's just in the back. Just in the background. There's a car in the background of one of the shots.
Yeah, I think it's going to be present day, but 60s aesthetic.
Okay. I mean, I just looked at this image and like, I was like, oh, so Betty and Jughead look different, right?
Is that Ross Lynch's natural hair colour? Because I've only seen him in My Friend Dahmer.
Where he's got, like, the bleached blonde, right?
Yeah. And I assume that's what they were going to be doing for Harvey, but apparently not.
No. So, I mean, this looks... It's Kid and Shipka, and it's that guy. And he's Harvey.
Yeah, I mean, it confirms to us further that the show exists.
which is nice. Okay.
There's not a lot more to say about it beyond that, other than that. Still really looking forward to that show. Looking forward to when we see a picture of what Michelle Gomez will look like in it. Ridiculous, hopefully.
Okay, this next piece of news I like because it's just an invitation for some wild speculation.
A good 20 minutes out of that then.
Yeah, exactly. There is a rumor that Matt Damon may have passed on the villain role in Spider-Man Homecoming 2.
Are you going to ask us who Matt Damon could play as a villain?
No, I was going to say, like, speculation. Who do you think the villain in Spider-Man Homecoming 2 is going to be? Yeah. And also, who would be good? Who would you like to sit?
That is actually quite a good question.
Yeah, because it's, you know, you have to assume
who is a classic Spider-Man villain they haven't done.
It's probably going to be someone who they haven't done.
Yeah.
Because they won't. If Amazing Spider-Man 2 hadn't done the Green Goblin, you could say that they could get away with doing the Goblin again, but I don't think they will. I don't think they'd do Dr. Octopus at this stage, although I would really quite like to see Dr. Octopus in the MCU.
I think the two main candidates are probably Kraven and Mysterio.
Yeah. So
Mysterio, I can imagine them doing very well in the MCU, and I think Kraven.
Well, that could come back to an idea that I've had for years for Mysterio about him being a failed TV personality.
Given how many people wrote the last Spider-Man Homecoming film, there's a good chance that you'll get on that.
Oh, you guys, I was watching. What was it? I was watching the Coen Brothers movie, The Man Who Wasn't There, at the weekend.
Very underrated in the Coen's canon, that one.
It is. It's good. Although I was thinking it felt a little bit like a proto Serious Man. Like it's like a Serious Man, but not quite as cutting, or a lot more passive, if that's possible. But Richard Jenkins is in it in a small role, and I was watching it and going, Richard Jenkins would make a great Mysterio, right? Or is that just me? You guys have probably got your Mysterio dream casting in your back pocket already.
I don't know. Mysterio is quite easy for anyone to do, because you need the costume version to be a fishbowl head, and that's basically it. It doesn't matter who's under it.
But this is why I wouldn't do that. As I say, I would have him as a Derren Brown type.
Yeah. yeah, I would. Yeah, that would be great.
Not Derren Brown playing him, because Derren Brown's not an actor, but somebody playing a very Derren Brown-ish character.
Hey, he was in that episode of Sherlock, wasn't he, Seb?
Playing himself.
Yes. He could play himself.
Surely everything Derren Brown does is a performance, though.
Mm.
He's a master of the mentalism.
Yeah.
A master of the mental arts.
I was just trying to think who... Didn't I come up with some good Norman Osborn casting recently? Because I was thinking about Norman Osborn. The great thing about bringing Norman Osborn into the MCU is that you can have him be an Avengers and an Iron Man villain as well as a Spider-Man villain.
I don't think you do Norman Osborn yet.
No, I don't think they will. I don't think they'll go near goblins.
So, what do you remember when
I would like to see? Norman Osborn as a kind of Doctor Doom figure who like shows up in lots of different properties, being Norman Osborn, and you're like, oh, when's he going to do something evil?
Yeah, well, I seem to remember, and I can't remember. I've mentioned this in the past, and I may have made it up, but I seem to remember when Ant-Man was due to come out. It was right around when the Sony Marvel Spider-Man deal was getting done, and there were lots of rumors that in the background we were going to be seeing like
Oscorp
logos and stuff. Just, you know, like in that corporate world that you've got in Ant-Man, and it didn't happen. But yeah, I could see that working. But that's what I would do with Norman Osborn. I'd bed in the idea, but not touch him for ages. I think Kraven makes sense. He's the biggest Spider-Man villain that they haven't touched. And I don't know if you remember that they were talking about there was a rumor that they were not going to be doing any specific, or there wasn't going to be any specific gender or race for the Spider-Man villain, that it was kind of like an open casting process.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if they'd have said that and then hired Matt Damon, that would have been a thing. Or even that had been out there and then Matt Damon had been hired, would have been a weird thing. But yeah, I think Kraven, especially if the rumours are true that they're going to be going international, I think Kraven... I don't know, maybe there is a fun kind of like European thief aspect to Kraven that you could even play up.
I mean, the thing that makes Kraven work for me is that he is a very personal threat to Peter Parker, in that he's, you know, a hunter. Like he's gonna be tracking his friends and family.
Yeah.
And that's not something like Iron Man's not just gonna show up and, you know, rocket him off to jail or whatever.
Well, I mean, presumably most of those characters will be dead by the time we get to Homecoming 2 anyway, so... So, yeah,
so can we fan cast Craven then?
Well, does Craven, to you, does he necessarily have to be a white guy?
No, I mean, he's the character is Russian, but I don't think there's a huge problem to change that. I have two thoughts. One of them is a white guy and one of them isn't. My thoughts are Jeffrey Dean Morgan or The Rock.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan is not going to leave the DCEU. The Rock The Rock might. I kind of like the idea of them kind of, you know, just recycling people who used to be superheroes quite a long while ago.
You so know maybe, who I could
So are you going to say Dean Cain?
I mean, I do like that. No, Wesley Snipes as Craven the Hunter is.
That just popped into my head as a joke idea,
and now I love it. Wesley Snipes, do you know
what I like better than that? And this is just going totally off topic. And this is something that occurred to me the other day.
Blade as a villain.
Well, just there is no reason why Wesley Snipes could not play Blade in the MCU. Even at his age now, I think he could.
He would agree with you, Seb.
I mean, yeah, I don't know, because I was wondering this after I watched Demolition Man the other week, and I had not seen that for a very long time. It's a great film, but one of the things that struck me was just how good Wesley Snipes is in that, like more so than, you know, I would usually expect from him. And that just made me think, like, if you can get that Wesley Snipes in a film again, you know, whatever legal issues he's had notwithstanding, I could see him as Craven, actually.
Hey, we've happened across an absolute gold mine. I hope Kevin Feige's listening, because we've just smashed that out of the park,
because all of our ideas are golden. Yeah.
last non piece of news before we go on to a couple of tidbits that might be more interesting. Joaquin Phoenix has said that he will only do a superhero movie if he believes that he can transcend the genre. So I imagine he's passing on that Joker reboot movie then with Todd Phillips. Because as much as I think that that sounds like an interesting project, I don't think a Todd Phillips King of Comedy riff is going to transcend the superhero genre.
What genre was he transcending in I'm Still Here, out of interest?
The mockumentary, I would assume, or at least he hopes that he could do. I think Joaquin Phoenix does pick interesting project. I mean, this all comes on the back of, as well, him reportedly passing on Doctor Strange, which makes a lot of sense. If that is what Joaquin Phoenix wants to do, he wants to do stuff that is as wild as possible. He's never going to pop up in the MCU, is he, within those kind of constraints?
No.
But yeah, I don't think that will. I mean, I could see, like I said before, I'd love to see Joaquin Phoenix playing the Joker. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure that, yeah, Todd Phillips is the guy to do that with, if those are your ambitions. Maybe he needs to bring Lynn Ramsey in.
You know, funnily,
that would watch.
I was talking to Mike Leader earlier today, and he pointed out to me an interview where Lynn Ramsey claimed that The Dark Knight Returns was a big influence on her mode of storytelling.
Well, you know, let's join all those dots together. Let's get Lynn Ramsey directing a Joker movie. Perfect. With Joaquin Phoenix.
Transcending the genre.
Yeah, no, I believe that they could. And hey, she's worked with Ezra Miller before as well, so the Flash can cameo. And then we've tied it into the DCEU as well. Everyone's happy.
Doesn't take a lot to tie things into the DCEU, though, does it? They just have to get made.
Yeah, okay, so we'll move on to a couple of pieces of news that might be a little bit more substantial, but still aren't really. James, there was a report out, and this was around April Fool's Day, so I'm still not massively convinced, but there was a report out on the tracking board about all of the drama with Fox's New Mutants. And
all of the drama.
They said that basically, originally, because there was the teaser at the end of X-Men Apocalypse, which teased the Essex Corporation. And so we were kind of expecting Mr. Sinister in Logan, weren't we? Or you know, potentially that
well,
could be...
Well, yeah, we were expecting Mr. Sinister to be in an X-Men movie, which was either going to be Logan or what turned out to be Dark Phoenix.
Yes. But it doesn't seem like that has happened. And so this report was suggesting that Mr. Sinister was going to cameo in a tag at the end of New Mutants, played by Jon Hamm. Except that they've changed their mind now, and instead Antonio Banderas will be playing an unnamed villain in the tag for New Mutants. And so Antonio Banderas might be in New Mutants now? Maybe?
I mean, pretty much anyone might be in New Mutants at this point. It's not coming out for like another 5 years or something.
It's another movie, isn't it, where you're just like, yeah, I don't think they know yet.
No.
I really don't think that they know yet. But Mr. Sinister would make sense in the X-Men movies, given that he's... given the kind of the alt future set up by Logan. I mean, there was even a rumour out there that Jessica Chastain's character in X-Men Dark Phoenix is Miss Sinister. Now, is that a different is that a different character, or is that just someone gender flipped?
Oh, it's a different character who used his technology to steal his powers, essentially. It's kind of vague. Yeah, it's a different character, put it that way. They're, like, you could theoretically have Mr. and Mrs. Sinister hanging around and they would both not be the same character.
Okay. So
except
I mean,
that she died, but, you know, comics.
Here's my prediction. She's not Miss Sinister.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Mr. Sinister's not a New Mutants, and Antonio Banderas won't be either.
Yeah, I would fully agree with all that.
I mean, but also, let's face it, I mean, if New Mutants was going to be the time at which they would introduce Mr. Sinister, like, the universe would be entering a cold heat death before he got to actually appear in a film.
Okay, and our last piece of news is a piece of TV news, and we're digging a couple of weeks back for this because it was something we didn't cover on the podcast when it happened. But Astro City, which is a comic book from Kurt Busiek.
Music.
Joe did that deliberately because we briefed him beforehand on how you actually pronounce Kurt Busiek's name.
Kurt Busiek. Some indie comics guy, I don't know. Yeah, he wrote a comic called Astro City.
You have read his Avengers issues.
Who's and Avengers
Superman
issues?
And Superman Secret Identity.
And Superman Secret Identity, yeah.
He's written a lot of comics that you have read.
I'm winding you guys up. So Kurt Busiek had a comic called Astro City. And
still has.
It's a thing that's still going.
It's currently going.
So it launched in 1995, I'm seeing here. And they're now developing a TV show about it. Tell me why, James, you sounded very interested by this. Tell me why I should be interested.
I think probably because, like, Astro City is, it's sort of an independent superhero universe, but also it's very sort of, it's homaging the Silver Age, but using sort of modern narrative devices and sensibilities. So it's kind of interesting in that respect. It's like, imagine the grim and gritty 80s stuff never happened to superheroes. This might be what they'd be like.
It's not a million miles away from when we were talking about what Alan Moore did with Supreme.
Thinking of referencing that.
Yeah, but it's, I think, and it even, you know, it has a Superman analog that that's not entirely dissimilar called Samaritan.
It's very interested in archetypes and sort of commentary.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Supreme is a really great work, but you know, is a bit more kind of finite and a bit kind of narrower in focus. I think what Astro City is generally really good at, from what I've read of it, is its world building. Mm-hmm. I mean, given that it's a world and a set of characters that are completely based on archetypes, it develops them pretty well into, and you know, making them into characters that you are interested in their own right and in and of themselves. Like, they're not especially interesting in terms of the concepts of them, because they are all just really recognizable superhero and supervillain archetypes, but the characters themselves and their relationships and stuff are interesting.
All that being said, do you expect that this is a one of those projects that is actually going to make it to the screen?
Well, I noticed that it's being apparently developed by Fremantle, and it's not the only major adaptation project that's been announced by them in the last week, because also they are apparently doing an adaptation of Gormenghast by Neil Gaiman and Akiva Goldsman, which might be the most mismatched pairing of writers talent-wise that I think I've ever seen. But it sounds to me like they've probably got a few properties that they're looking at developing at the moment, and this is one of them.
So the thing that makes me think Astro City might not happen is that just getting that many superheroic characters on screen is going to cost money with a capital M.
And this is,
if it can't look as good as a movie, it's almost not worth doing.
Well, The Tick hasn't done too bad. Well, The Tick doesn't have anywhere near as many characters and isn't quite as reliant on them all flying.
It's a comedy, so you can get away with a lot more in terms of suspension of disbelief. Like, if you want to do Samaritan on screen, he has to look as good as Superman, otherwise it doesn't work.
Hmm. And this is Fremantle North America, who for a long time had worked primarily in game shows, reality shows. They did The Price is Right and American Idol. So obviously, like, two massively successful shows there. In terms of, like, scripted entertainment, their big project is American Gods. And as much as I kind of was, like, lukewarm, I didn't think it was terrible by any stretch on the bits of American Gods that I did see, that's a show that's been handled atrociously behind the scenes.
To be fair, they did hire Brian Fuller.
Yeah, but then things got worse after he left. I'm not convinced. And so there's not a network attached or anything like that. This is just that Fremantle have picked up the rights and are developing it. But it sounds interesting. It certainly sounds more interesting than the Rob Liefeld version of this that you told me about the other week. So,
well, that was what I mean about, you know, the Rob Liefeld one is the same as the Alan Moore one. Tackled differently. Just actually, I've just seen in a sidebar tweet alongside a new story about Astro City. This looks like it's new today. The FX have ordered a pilot for Why the Last Man.
What? I didn't see that.
Yeah, well, I think it's just, like, stories just gone up on Newsarama is where I saw it. It's according to Variety. There's very little detail beyond the fact that they have ordered a pilot. And it's FX. It has showrunners. Michael Green and... who also apparently worked on American Gods,
yeah.
And Aida Mashaka Kroll, it went over onto a new line, who's apparently worked on Luke Cage, are going to be co-showrunners. And Alina Matsoukas is going to direct the pilot.
Yeah, that, see, I was going to say, that is a show that I absolutely believe will happen. I'm stunned that Why the Last Man hasn't been adapted already. And yeah, it seems like just a no-brainer concept.
Yeah, especially because there's only one guy, so you can get away with paying your car 75% less than normal.
Oh dear, James. So that was the comic book movie and TV news this week. It was slim pickings, but fortunately we've got one of our all-time great pitches.
I don't know, you haven't heard mine yet.
I wanted to know, after we did Generation X last week, I wanted a pitch from Seb and James for a 90s, to literally time travel back to the 90s and make a superhero TV movie. Now, James, you are confident you've got a great pitch lined up.
I'm expecting it to make great podcasting, put it that way.
And before the show, you said that it was so good that you had to go first.
I did allude to that.
Yep. Seb, what's your pitch this week?
You dick.
No, I'd like James to go first, because I still need a bit of time to think.
Oh, God, you're both as bad as each other. Okay, James, you can go first.
Okay, so essentially you're asking us with this pitch, which superheroes would you like to see a sort of mediocre, cheap version of?
Done camply and badly.
Yeah, and I was thinking, so what's like a mediocre, cheap version of an existing superhero team that would be, you know, that I would enjoy being done really badly? So I was thinking they should make a Justice League International pilot TV series.
This is why you went first.
Yeah, because I would just love to see Seb having to sit through that and feeling even worse than the Generation X pilot.
I'm sorry, but it doesn't matter what I say, because you've just handed me the victory by trying to invent something that already exists.
There's a Justice League International pilot?
Yeah. It's called Justice League America, but the 1997 Justice League movie... Have you not seen this?
Why would I ever watch that?
It's Guy Gardner, The Flash, Fire and Ice, and Atom, and Martian Manhunter.
Amazing.
I mean, we're going to get to covering it on the podcast at some point, but they tried to do it, and they tried to do it as like a light-hearted comedy.
I mean, Seb, you say that James has just handed the win to you, but has he pitched something so accurate that they actually made it badly and cheaply in the 90s?
Maybe it didn't exist until I said it, and now the vagaries of time travel have brought it into existence.
Perfect. Seb, do you want to pitch the Matt Salinger 1990 Captain America movie?
Well, I think there's this team of X-Men characters, like these teenagers from the 90s.
No, but we know that already existed because we podcasted about it last week. Maybe we didn't podcast about it last week until you just said it.
Until I travelled back in time and made it happen, yeah.
Okay, Seb, what is your pitch for a 1990 superhero TV movie?
You know, I'm going to completely change tack now on what I was going to say.
Wow.
Because of all of this talk of time travel, and actually not a million miles away from what James was pitching anyway, but rather than just generally doing Justice League International, I think the 90s and TV movie stylings and TV movie budgets would have been perfectly suited to a Booster Gold TV series.
Man, you're always trying to get Booster Gold on screen. Give it up.
But... it's very simple. He's a time traveler. So you don't have to have him kind of flying around. You don't have to have the budgetary constraints.
Yeah, instead of a robot, he could have like a pager.
Exactly.
Wait.
And I mean, I'm basically thinking that this is going to end up looking very like Early Edition.
Seb, can I get in into your pitch? What about we make it now and Booster Gold time travels back to the 1990s to make a superhero TV movie about the characters that he's friends with in the present day?
No,
right?
I like it, but I'm just thinking more and more. I'm ruminating more and more on this idea of it basically being a superhero version of Early Edition. And what happens is that Skeets is like his little portable computer, like a tablet,
like a PDA
that's come with him from the future. Yeah, and it shows him news stories from tomorrow, and so he goes and like stops crime and rescues people based on the news story that's about to happen the next day.
I mean, that is just Early Edition, though.
Yeah, but it's Early Edition, but with superheroes.
I've never watched Early Edition. I just know it was Carl Chandler, wasn't it?
You what?
What, James? I'm not ancient like you and Seth.
but you've
watched the classics, right?
Television.
You've seen the X-Files and stuff. Like, why not Early Edition?
It just depends whether it was on TV, like on free TV available to me when I was a kid.
Also,
I don't
there's
think
no
it was.
Excuse just because it happened before you were born. There's no excuse for not watching the classics.
Also, Carl Chandler in about 1996 is absolutely perfect casting for Booster Gold as well. So, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, James, I think as much as I want to award you the win for pitching something that already exists, which is amazing, I think just for virtue of the fact that that Seb's pitch doesn't exist.
Well,
and
it
also,
does. It's called Early Edition.
Yeah, but Early Edition didn't start.
Early Edition has a cat. It has a cat that brings the newspaper.
Booster Gold has a Skeets.
Yes.
Would you rather have a computer or a cat? This is ridiculous. I quit.
Can I tell you what my other badly formed idea was?
Sure, why not? We've got the time.
Part of the reason I ditched it was that I realised that two actually existing series, ironically, I realised that two actually existing series didn't leave a space for it to exist in the 90s. But a Superman TV series completely shot in Milton Keynes.
Amazing. Okay, so Seb, you win the pitch this week.
Again?
And that's just about it for this week's episode. I thought before we go, I would give an update on the fundraising campaign for the Marvel Cinematic Universe Marathon. As we record today, which is Thursday, we crossed £1,000.
Yay!
Hey! Which, James, did you and Seb actually got us over the £1,000 mark.
Yeah, because I was thinking now I can choose that you should watch Iron Fist.
You don't get to choose. That's not how this works. As I tweeted out, I would not watch Iron Fist again, even for Parkinson's. So we've crossed £1,000. I think we are 2 weeks away. Is that right? So yeah, just over 2 weeks away from the marathon actually taking place. Because we have passed the £1,000 mark, I am now 100% definitely adding in all of the Marvel one-shots, which makes this pretty much as complete an MCU movie marathon as you can get, because it has all of the features and all of the shorts. So there is, yeah, I think there's five one-shots that have been added in. It means a little bit more Peggy Carter, so I'm happy. And also takes the marathon over 39 hours and 6 minutes to be exact. But now I kind of need listeners' help, because I need to set another stretch goal, for, you know, to encourage more donations and to add something else silly to this marathon that I can do. I want to keep it all MCU related, so I don't want to stray too far away from that. And also, I will not be watching Iron Fist. So with those caveats in mind, it would be great to hear people's suggestions for what I could add in. I worry that it's probably going to be some Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in some
form. I was
going to
say, I think you should watch the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes that have movie characters in.
That's what I was thinking, but do I really have to watch a full Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode just to get to the Nick Fury cameo in the last 30 seconds?
It's the Agent Sitwell cameos you have to watch out for.
Well, Sitwell's quite good. I quite like Sitwell. And who was Titus Welliver's character? Because he's in one of the one-shots, and then he turns up on the show. Lady Sif's in a couple of episodes, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the crossover stuff with the
Thor
MCU.
The Dark World, yeah.
Well, the good one was the two-part, not Civil War, Winter Soldier, the two-part Winter Soldier crossover, where as Seb went over and said to me at the end of Captain America Winter Soldier, well, that is the fastest a TV show has ever been cancelled.
I was wrong in retrospect, wasn't I?
Yeah. 5 years, cut to 5 years later. But yeah, that was kind of maybe the high point for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when they actually like tied into Winter Soldier and did some fun stuff with it. Yeah, so there are little bits and bats. There's also the Agent Carter stuff that crosses, and the Howling Commando stuff, which crosses over with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. And there's Agent Carter itself. I don't think the Netflix shows have ever been allowed to even think about anyone from the movies. So that might be a little bit more difficult. And then there's a bunch of other shows as well, isn't there? There's Inhumans, there's Cloak and Daggers starting soon. I don't know how soon that's starting. Runaways has happened. Did that ever air in the UK?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Me either, but...
I don't know. I don't really have a TV, so... I do have a TV.
Well.
I don't have TV. I only stream it and stuff, so...
You're unplugged.
Yep.
Yeah. So, listeners, if you've got any particular ideas, like I say, I want to keep it MCU related. But yeah, let's try and think of a fun new stretch goal, and hopefully we can keep raising some money in these last couple of weeks before the marathon happens. And then on Thursday night at midnight, I will be heading to my local multiplex to watch the midnight screening of Avengers Infinity War in 3D.
And you won't be able to tell what insane events in that film are actually really happening in the film, or that your fevered imagination.
Oh no! So that will actually be 4 days later. I will have I'll have done my marathon on Saturday, Sunday, and then on Thursday night at midnight, I'll be seeing that. But presumably, my mind will be warped. I mean, I was even in a bit of a weird place when I saw Captain America: Civil War at the end of the Captain America trilogy. In cinemas, which was
yeah, because you were convinced sort of like, it was going to be a trilogy.
Yes, and I was lied to. but yeah, so it should be interesting. And guys, I'm really excited about Hawkeye. I just there's something's going on with that man. What's going on with Hawkeye?
He's going to die in the first 15 seconds of the film.
No, apparently
to give Thanos some credibility.
Apparently, they showed half an hour of the movie to some press today, and they you know, no spoilers because Thanos has warned everyone now, which is a thing. But apparently Hawkeye wasn't in them.
Since we're talking about it, here is what I think is going to happen.
He's going to go find Captain Marvel. No,
at the end of Avengers 3.
Yes.
Like, everyone will be incapacitated, Thanos will be triumphant, and then, you know, it will have a shot of
post-credit scene, Hawkeye on his farm.
Non-superhuman. Yeah, like the ordinary non-superhuman guy picking up his bow and being like, I'd better go sort this out. And then he's the guy who, like, inspires the other Avengers, like, you know, proves that he's the heart of the team, as they kept saying.
I really love it. I love it.
Or alternatively, he shows up and Thanos punches his head off because he's just an ordinary bloke. He's not Captain America.
Like, I can kind of see them doing a big thing where, like, the ordinary, non-powered, like, seemingly weakest member of the Avengers turns out to be overlooked by the, like, god-like being and thus saving the day.
Is he... I guess he's not, no, because Black Widow as well, but do any of the other... others of them not have superpowers? Because Tony Stark, I guess, at a push, but...
Yeah, I mean, Tony Stark has his suit, which I think disqualifies him from being called, like, an ordinary guy.
And I guess Doctor Strange isn't superpowered, but he's tapping into superpowers.
Yeah. Black Widow and Hawkeye are the two, like, non-powered ones, and I think even...
Ant-Man? Again, he's got his gimmick.
Like, Hawkeye's gimmick is that he shoots arrows. Like, it's not a gimmick.
He's really the truest hero. I need to order my Team Hawkeye t-shirt. He truly is the best of it.
I love the idea of showing up at Avengers Infinity War with like all your Hawkeye gear and being like, "Woo, go Hawkeye," and just not being in the film.
I went to that Captain America trilogy in my Hawkeye t-shirt. I genuinely did. I went to that because I was like, "Yeah, Hawkeye," and one dude was like, "Cool t-shirt, bro," and I was like, "Oh, he said, bro."
You should just be like the one guy coming out of Infinity War going like, "What the fuck was that? Where's my guy?"
He is in it. He is in it. Or as I tweeted today, what if Hawkeye's been Thanos this whole time? And he is on the post.
You're banned from speculating about Avengers.
I did that on Twitter, James, just to annoy you.
So Hawkeye's definitely not the Soul Stone, right?
Well, another theory I've put out there. okay, I thoroughly enjoyed that episode more than any of our listeners, I am sure. but that's it for this week's show. Don't forget that our next episode is going to be on Green Lantern, which I'm incredibly excited about because I haven't watched it since it was released. But I think I watched it twice, maybe. I think I watched a review copy of it as well. I am, as I've mentioned previously on this podcast, certainly back in the day anyway, I was one of the biggest Ryan Reynolds fans that you were ever likely to find because he was perennially in bad movies and people kept telling me that he was terrible. And I was like, no, you're wrong. Ryan Reynolds is the best. He is just the best thing about terrible movies again and again and again. Green Lantern did not help me in that regard. but I feel
it was so bad that even you, the biggest Ryan Reynolds fan in the world, only saw it twice.
Yes, exactly. it will be interesting to see that that movie starring Ryan Reynolds and Taika Waititi. That's going to be a lot of fun. So that's the next episode of the show. If you're enjoying the show, then please do subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or your podcast app of choice. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/cinematicuniverse.
And if you already do and you haven't heard it yet, there is now a new bonus episode, finally, in which I ramble on. I'd say ramble on for half an hour. I actually rambled on for about 45, 50 minutes and then cut it down about the history of DC's many reboots. So hopefully some of that makes sense. And it's completely exclusive to $2 and up Patreon backers.
And to any listeners who are not Patreon backers, but would like to hear the podcast that Reese and I recorded about the Infinity War trailer, where I talk about Hawkeye quite a lot in that as well. We are planning to put that out on the main feed within the next week, so yeah. hopefully to make
before
up
Infinity
episode
War
that
comes
just
out
done.
At least.
Yes, certainly.
Also a reminder on Patreon as well, as I see from just looking at the page, that we've now hit 49 patrons. So when we hit 50, assuming that it does actually stay as that for a month, then we'll give away a free t-shirt to a randomly picked Patreon backer. So by the time you're listening to this, we might have already, but if we haven't, go ahead and be the 50th and you can be in that draw.
Should we design a new one, Seb?
Well, we're thinking about it anyway, but whether it'll be just one with the logo on or an entirely new one so that people can choose.
We should make a Hawkeye t-shirt.
Yeah, I'm thinking we should make a Hawkeye t-shirt.
So we can all wear it to the film.
Hawkeye saves the Marvel Universe.
Just say here for Hawkeye.
Yeah, I am here for Hawkeye. You can find more episodes of the show at cinematicuniverse.com. You can get in touch via Facebook, on Twitter, at @Cine_verse, or send us an email to editorial@cinematicuniverse.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.